Welcome to Proudly Resents. This is Adam Spiegelman coming to you from Retro Radio Live Studios.
My name is Eric Danger Ninehouse from Sirius XM Jamie Foxx's Foxhole.
Eric and I grew up together in New Jersey, and he was nice enough to let me and John, our guest, to come and do the show from his house.
But yeah, no, you're always welcome here. You know, we always take care of our own, and I'm become a very big fan of Proudly Resents, even though you're only on once a year.
Once a year. And you listen to it every other year.
That's right.
And John Mathot, right. Well, thank you for coming on to the show finally. We finally got you on.
Right. Absolutely.
John was nice enough to share his VHS copy of Alienator.
And your claim to shame is the fact that you run a movie theater that is based out of...
Downtown Hollywood. Kind of like Hollywood. Smack dab in the middle of Hollywood. Okay. Theater Row.
And you screen the worst movies ever.
We call ourselves Horrible Movie Night. We do a monthly show. We show the worst movies you've never heard of. And invite the audience to come down and make fun of them. We give prizes for the best or worst comments through the evening.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us.
It's a pleasure. Your next show is October 16th.
October 16th. And we're showing a movie called Uninvited.
Everybody is invited.
But everyone is invited. Okay. It's going to be like there's going to be a whole lot of confused people walking in circles.
What do you charge people to get in?
It's $8.
Oh, $8.
Yep. So you still
there's
have
no 3D fee or anything with that?
Nothing like
okay.
that.
Just making sure.
Still got $2 left over for snacks and drinks.
Oh, do you have snacks and drinks?
We now? Do indeed.
Sweet.
Yep.
Horrible Movie Night, which right. is at the Complex every month. Next one, October 16th.
How many people does your theater hold?
About 50 seats.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, is liquor allowed or no?
Yes, it is.
It's a BYOB?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And you can buy some there. We have it for sale as well.
Oh, do you have to have insurance
because
or anything?
Everyone is... No, the theater takes care of that.
Oh, do they do? But is everybody pretty much on their best behavior, or do they like really try to like thrash the place, like if a Jewish priest comes?
No, everyone is very nice. No. Everyone is very nice.
I got a black eye there. No, it's more heckling of the film. I mean, if you're letting people yell at the screen,
right.
more than
they're taking it out on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. You would be great at that.
Would I?
Yeah, because you.
I'm an ad libber.
You know, you don't be quiet.
What?
You can't shut your mouth.
What are you talking about?
You're like from Jersey.
What do you mean?
You talk through movies.
I don't talk through. What are you talking about?
I could imagine sitting
you know
through
what?
A film with you.
Oh, jeez. Go down to Newark with me and watch a movie. The brothers
tell
me to shut up.
They tell you.
Are telling me to shut up.
They tell you to be quiet.
Holy cow. Yep.
But here, let's get back to the business at hand.
Yes.
Alienator.
Yes.
1989, starring Jan Michael Vincent. It's a little deceiving that he stars in the movie, they say.
Right.
Because he starts out with him in the film. John, you wanted to tell us what the movie's about?
Sure. Alienator is a kind of a Terminator ripoff.
Okay.
But there's... Wow, it's kind of all over the place. It starts off as kind of like a prison spaceship
cool
movie where there's this where J. Michael Vincent is the leader of this kind of division of the army or something like that that basically executes prisoners in outer space.
They're
outer spaceship, yeah. So one guy gets away from his electric chair or like
right.
Kind of weirdly animated kind of electricity zapping people and turning them into nothing.
Okay.
He escapes, gets into a little spaceship, and flies to Earth. And then it turns, and then J. Michael Vincent's army sends a very bizarre-looking female Terminator to Earth
it's
to find
bodybuilder
him.
Wearing tin cans, pretty much.
Yeah, literally, they look like kind of like lawnmower hubcaps on her tits.
So is J. Michael Vincent like the poor man's Michael Biehn?
Oh, wow. Is that an insult to the poor man's Michael Biehn?
I don't know. I don't know who that's an insult to, actually.
I think
it's an insult to poor men.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can't get the poor man's Michael Biehn, you call Jan Michael Vincent.
Michael Vincent was wonderful in this movie because you could tell he was in the depths of his drug addiction.
Oh,
He is so...
I thought he was a drunk.
Whatever it is, he's in it.
I think he dabbled with both, but he's so constipated looking.
Dabbled?
when he throws a punch,
right.
You feel like if he threw the punch too hard, he'd fall over.
Oh, my God, the wind.
Luckily, it connected or almost that he stopped so he wouldn't fall in. One part, the set is flimsy enough. He's using the set to keep himself up from falling down.
Are you kidding me?
Kind of like that scene in Blues Brothers where John Belushi is just, propped up against the... during the glue scene, he was like, "This is glue, very strong stuff."
Right.
There's a friend of mine who was on set for that. He was an extra, and they said John Belushi was so drunk that he couldn't stand, so they just propped him up against the side of the thing.
Wow.
But yeah, there's several scenes where J. Michael Vincent is just like, "Okay, just Jan, just lean for us, please. Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine. And let's talk about the spaceship. First of all, the outside of the spaceship looks like they got two soccer balls and painted them brown.
Right.
And just threw them in the air.
And attached it to like a vacuum cleaner attachment or something.
Right. And then
sprayed it all silver.
Inside it was someone's garage or...
Like a power plant. It's like, there's nothing that big in that spaceship. Come on.
Oh, yeah. The spaceship is... Somehow, especially very high ceilings.
Yeah, they have
and garage doors.
Incredibly cramped command center with just a wall of blinking lights, and then there's somehow a power plant that they're running around shooting at each other.
The large garage door kind of threw me too. Like, where does that lead?
Yeah,
yeah, it leads out to the
garage doors.
It was bizarre.
And that's where they take out their space trash.
Let's talk about the people on the ship. There's a woman in there who was in Stripes. She was Bill Murray's love interest in
BJ Souls.
Does not look like her. She's got the crazy space outfit.
It's kind of like a reverse bikini in a way, where she's like nearly everything is exposed except like her, like right in the middle of her breasts. If you kind of squinted at it, it's almost like one of those eye tests where like, is this a profile of a person or is it a vase?
It looks like a vase.
Yeah, it literally looks like a champagne glass or something.
You don't know what's going on. And yeah, the outfit's ridiculous. I don't know. Maybe they sent her out of space or like, listen, that outfit's terrible.
And she's the only one that's dressed like that. The guys aren't. They're dressed in kind of cool military drab. And
they're almost wearing jeans. The guys are pretty laid back. They're about to execute the guy, and then like a sheriff or someone comes in.
Okay.
Like a...
The Rip Taylor-looking guy, right?
He looks like Rip Taylor.
Are you serious?
Or like... He's a mixture of Scotty and Rip Taylor.
Wow. Get ready to die!
So this guy who looks like Scotty / Rip Taylor,
right?
He's wearing Obi-Wan Kenobi's robe, but he's a big guy. So it's like two robes sewn together.
It was the Jedi Mumu.
Yes.
And those are his work clothes.
Right.
That's when he comes to work.
Yeah. Oh, my God. A Jedi Mumu.
The fried chicken will be with you.
And there's somehow no policy on mustaches, I guess, because this guy is just a honking... He looked like kind of looks like the Pringles.
Oh my god!
The guy in the Pringles can, except if it was white.
So if Rip Taylor had sex with a Monopoly guy, it would be
that would
destroy the universe, they would put him in Alien.
Right. Yeah, that would make.
And they wonder where black holes come from.
This movie has a fantastic collection in the spaceship of mustaches. We've got the Rip Taylor one we're talking about. There's a lot of porn stash.
Is there
a lot of black like straight line mustaches?
Oh god!
Because there's a lot of henchmen. And as the stormtroopers wore helmets, these guys wore porn stashes and ran around.
And they were kind of their level of stupidity, I think, usually was akin to the size of their mustaches.
Right.
Like there were guys that were standing in the middle of a room, and you can see the escaped convict kind of sneaking towards him slowly, and he's just kind of looking at his fingernails or something, and then
right until he gets real close. But this movie, it's like two different movies that we talked about. We got one on the spaceship with Jan Michael Vincent, which you're very excited because you're like, wow, Jan Michael Vincent, he's not dead and he's doing okay.
Right.
He's barely dead.
This is before anyone was worried whether he would die or not.
Right. They were just as long as he showed up on the set.
Oh, I do have to mention his hair because we mentioned him leaning against the wall and everything. The hair. His hair in this would make Devo look like the Beatles.
Really?
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's always had good hair.
It looks like a Ben Cooper Halloween mask with a little rubber band.
He's got two or three hairdos in the same scene almost.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's slick back. He's got the slick back look. Then he's got, like, the nice coif kind of feather
look. Yeah, kind of Dairy Queen looking thing.
Yeah, then he's got the in-between. Kind of, I just woke up out of my
One of these PAs just woke me up from a nap.
Does anybody know what the budget is on this film? I can't find a budget for this film anyway.
It's got to be small because the director, we should mention the director, is Fred Olen Ray, the auteur of bad movies. He's made over 200. He is still making movies.
I just saw that he has about three movies in production right now.
Are you serious?
And emailed me directly, actually. I emailed him. I was able to email him through his site. Asked him about this is why we haven't shown this one in the theater, because we can't get the rights to it. He doesn't own the rights to this one, but he was nice enough to get back to us.
Is he okay with you showing this movie or films?
At that point, I didn't say, like, hey, we're going to show this one. Usually I say, hey, would you allow us to show this? Just because we like to keep above board.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he also made Evil Tunes. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
I never did, but I've seen the trailer for it.
He's made these great bad movies. And one thing I read said they think that he was making a space movie with Jan Michael Vincent, ran out of money, and then made this second movie almost, which is like a totally different film. It's a bunch of teenagers that find an alien and have to run from an alien. Because Jan Michael Vincent, they never directly mention that they're sending Alienator down.
They're never in the same scene. The Alienator is never in the same scene as any of the characters from the spaceship. and any of the kids from Earth are never on the, in the same scene as any of the Jan Michael Vincent and those characters.
The laser beams, you mentioned this, and I thought you were kidding, but laser beams in this movie do 8 different things, right? Any kind of damage.
Yeah. The laser beam, the first time we see the laser beam come from the alienator, it incinerates. Actually, a drunken doctor is coming to help the kids in the sheriff's cabin. So the laser sets him on fire and burns him to a crisp. Another time, it just makes a pickup truck disappear. Another time, it makes tree limbs explode into showers of sparks. It's very versatile.
Yeah, and it can do a lot of things. It's worth buying. If you're looking for a laser, I think you should talk to Alienator. She knows
it's exactly all-purpose, what it is. Yes.
It's all-purpose.
Like a Swiss Army laser.
This bad guy alien named Cole lands on Earth, and he gets hit by a Winnebago driven by 4 dumb kids.
One of them who is drinking, yes, while he's
lately
driving.
Drinking while he's driving.
Before it was cool.
Back when it was fun. Yeah, back when it was okay. All right, so the main guy who's drinking is the typical teenage asshole. Then there's the nerd, and how do you know he's a nerd?
Glasses.
Done. Then there's the two women. One is the girlfriend of the asshole, and the other one looks like a man.
Yep.
And the whole time you're like, this is a dude in a dress.
We couldn't pay attention to her dialogue or anything she was doing. She's like, is that? No, that can't be.
You're like, lady, clutch the pearls. So they hit this guy, and what do? They put him in their trailer, and they drive out to the sheriff, or where are they going with him?
I don't even know if they said where they were going. I think they said something about it being spring break.
Spring break, so they go to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, they're going in the middle of nowhere and drive like maniacs in this dirt road. And the great thing was when they get a hold of Cole, whether it's I don't know if it's an Earth atmosphere thing, because he had that choker around his neck.
Well, this is why you hold criminals. You ever wear a tasteful choker, the other woman should have been wearing, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. This choker, whether it was the choker or the Earth atmosphere, Cole was constantly going when he was trying to speak, as if he was having the bends or something.
That was their special effects of the Earth atmosphere on it.
I can imagine he probably auditioned with that. It's like, do you want me to do it breathy like I'm trying not to breathe Earth's air?
Do you really think they had auditions for this
thing? That's exactly what I was going to say. That was my first thing going through my mind. John, I don't want to contradict you, but do you really think?
Point taken.
You're in.
Like, can you come on Thursday?
You showed up.
You're done.
You're in.
Can you wear this choker?
You got any money? You got a couple bucks to throw into this?
Sir, will you wear a dress? You're in. You'll play one of the girlfriends.
We'll get you a SAG credit somehow.
This alien comes down. These kids find him, and they bring him to a house. Now, there's another sign of a cheap movie where you got to bring him right to the house because it's one set. But it's this old guy's house. He's like a...
Well, first they went to the sheriff's house.
Okay.
Right?
And a few scenes there.
A few scenes there. They tried to make coffee, and he had him camped
really
out on the sheriff's couch. And every shot is so funny. There was a lot of shots that looked like they were posing for like a photograph at a class reunion. They're all like in a pyramid and facing the camera and...
Just to get that one shot, the lighting.
Very
right?
Odd, yeah.
Yeah, and they're all just
talking. We can only have one setup.
You know what it looked like? It looked like the Fat Albert show when the kids would laugh. They always used the same clip of the Fat Albert kids laughing. And that's what a lot of those scenes are just punched up, and they would say their lines all at once.
Is there even nudity in this film?
Is there nudity in the film?
There is no nudity in the film.
No, there's not.
So there's absolutely no reason to watch this film besides the fact that if you like really bad movies.
Yes, and you must watch it. All of our films you must watch with other people because you're...
Watch them with prejudice.
Yes. Prejudice.
Right, but with other people.
We're showing that in November.
Right. Oh, I am?
No,
you should. But yeah, none of the girls... There's no nudity in the film. And Alienator... is the closest, I guess, because she's in this weird... But
you don't want to see her nude.
Well, that's the one thing. Between 80s bad movies and 90s bad movies, the 80s director at least knew to throw a breast in there somewhere.
Usually in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, we talk about this film, Nail Gun Massacre. It's coming up in the future. The guy shot the movie, and the distributor said, we need more breasts.
Right.
So he added a whole scene.
Just
it made
breasts.
No sense at all. Just a topless woman.
Right.
Talking. The guy's going to get killed, so it's just a scene with him wakes up with this beautiful topless woman.
Nice.
And that's it.
It's like Snakes on a Plane.
And what year was that movie?
Revisionist.
It was an 80s thing or no?
It was an 80s thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like all those bad spring break movies. Like
Well, that's why you see them,
right?
Oh, that's fantastic!
Yeah, I have no idea what half those stories are about, but there'd be the one chick on the cover that you were like, "Ooh, I'd like to see her," you know, and then bang,
they usually show it up right at the beginning.
Right.
And then you watch the rest of it, just in case there's more.
Yep. I mean, fast forward.
Well, no, but when we were kids, it was on, like, HBO in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah,
and
dude.
And stay up and, like, yeah. just in case I'm going to show, like, scramble
like
porn.
Yeah, if you watch, like, First and Ten. Like, there's going to be, like, there's going to be moves.
We had WHT, Channel 68.
So there was a movie channel right. in New Jersey, WHT.
And that was from showing out of New Jersey.
Right, and it would it was they scramble it unless you paid for it.
Right.
But you would watch for hours this scrambled movies because at night they would show porn. So just in case, just for a second, the scramble would go.
And it was best described in the very first American Pie.
Uh-huh.
When he was watching, you ever seen American Pie?
Yeah, I don't remember this.
He was watching the very opening scene. He was watching scrambled porn on
it's
television.
Like green, and you know it's not the right color.
Right.
It's just kind of like slowly going up the
yeah,
screen.
Yeah, it's like if your TV was underwater. So it's totally. But it would stop for a second, and you would see a picture.
I see a boob.
So I do remember still in my mind, 30
right.
years later, it froze. And you just see a naked woman lying down, a guy, like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Right.
It's almost like gave that to us. Like, they knew there were 30-year-olds.
And that would buy you, like, a few more weeks of just watching. Just
yes.
like
oh my
a few
God.
Seconds.
Because yep. it could happen. It's like people who pan for gold.
Right.
You know, you just
exactly.
give us a little gold, we're going to keep going.
Yep.
Oh, we watched for First and Ten, and a lot of those shows that were on pay cable, the only reason people watched it is because it was, like, waiting for that moment.
So, unfortunately, Alienator did not benefit from any boobs.
Wow. That's just so weird. I would think that such bad movies, they'd have one reason.
They just had to, like, bang it out and, like, you know.
They didn't have enough time.
Did they really think, I mean, do you think at that point that they're even, like, J. Michael Vincent will carry this film?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Right, right.
Because, you know, his name is before the title of the movie.
That's what he negotiated.
Yeah.
And again, he's always been a good-looking guy. But the first thing you can always notice when somebody's, like, having very bad kidney problems from drinking is they retain a lot of water in their face. And you could see that, like, the early stages of that with him.
It's like a reservoir.
Like, yeah, it's like Botox, you know. It's like cheap. It's like Ozark's Botox.
Right.
80s Botox.
Fleshman's Botox.
Fleshman's. It comes in a jug.
It comes by the gallon.
So I don't think they thought they needed the breast. I don't think they had time for it. You're a good point.
We don't need that. We got J. Michael.
We got that laser. We got explosions. We got exploding right. tree limbs.
Yeah, trees explode. Why do you need that?
Right.
Oh, the guns were the best part. They shoot the Alienator. And the bullets just fly off. And I think they establish you can't kill the Alienator. They even say, like, these guns will do nothing. There's only one way to kill the Alienator. But then they just keep shooting at her, like, for whatever reason.
Right.
Now, how is it, you got to love this, how do you stop the Alienator? You
chop its head off.
Okay, that sounds like a good plan. What is the actual cure? Do you remember? Chicken wire.
Oh, that's right. It was the chicken wire.
They say if you get, I forget how they figure this out, but if you get metal and you put the metal together.
Mm-hmm.
This unstoppable force is stoppable. So they find chicken wire.
Right.
Oh, that's right, the electricity and everything. That's right.
Right. So they know the chicken wire will work, but for four more scenes, they're shooting at her with a gun.
Right.
Finally, they throw chicken wire on her, and she,
and even
like,
that
melts.
Still didn't work. Then it's still not work because she completed
her
mission. Yeah, slowed her down because she still completed the mission.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to spoil it, but...
No. We
spoil this wonderful turkey.
It's a spoiler.
Wow.
So the bad alien invades one of the teenagers' bodies. And
the asshole, of course.
The asshole.
Not the nerd. Not the sensitive nerd.
And now this guy is dead.
Yeah. No one off screen. Nobody cares or knows.
Yeah. Lost another one.
It was almost like, well, at least none of us died.
And she still like completed her mission and, you know, cut the guy's head off and sent
right.
digital evidence or something like that back to the mothership and
mm-hmm.
said something. That's the first time she ever spoke in the movie, just spoke like...
Yeah, in a weird kind of voice. And then we go back to the spaceship story.
Right.
It turns out that the... I can't call him Obi-Wan Kenobi. Maybe Obi 300 pounds.
Some, like, some of the religious guy.
Uncle Mumu Kenobi.
Who was like shadowing Jan Michael Vincent and PJ Souls
right.
the whole movie. And you just, they're like, well, I'm here as an observer. I want to see how you're executing your prisoners.
Uncle
and he's
Moon
just
Moon
hanging Moon. Around, hanging around, literally like a bad idea in a script. He just
right.
hangs around. And we find out at the end that, you know, he is the father of Cole, who is the space criminal.
Wow.
Trying to stop
It's supposed
them.
To be a big reveal, and we're like, oh.
At that point, you're like, there's more movies? Yeah, at least Jan Michael.
Like, you check it, like, the time countdown on the thing. It's 95
like,
minutes.
Oh, we're not done? Well, that includes the end credits.
Oh,
God.
Okay.
We got 90 more minutes.
But it was very enjoyable. We had a blast watching.
There's a great scene in it. the best part of special effects is to get the bad guy, Cole, to get out of there. He does a lot of things to trick the guards. And right. one is he takes a bunch of leeches, puts them in a paper bag. Then, like you were saying, how dumb the guards are, he walks right up to the guard, puts the bag on the guard's face, and leeches crawl into his face.
Sweet.
And they have really good special effects, so the leeches go. But it seemed like
he was like collecting the leeches in his from his jail cell, right? And putting them in a paper bag.
Right.
Like
teach him to be mean. Like, nasty, mean leeches.
But they're like space leeches. Like, why are they on the plane to begin with? So when you're in outer space, just so you know, there's still leeches out there.
And the guard, and when the leeches are burrowing into the guard's skin, he's staying really, really still because, like, okay, there's a very expensive physical effect. We got to stand still. So
do not.
Can I make a suggestion? We have been doing this a couple shows now, and I know you did it before you got here, and you're going to continue to do it, I guess.
Ad infinitum.
Right. What do you do at the end of the year? Do you just like all sit down and take a vote on, like, the worst movie so far of that year that you've reviewed?
It's usually movie by movie.
Okay.
And
do we have an ultimate worst at this point?
An ultimate worst?
Yes. Like everything, like, I vomited hard for all of them, but for this movie, I vomited, like, twice as hard. Do you have, like, a thing, like, you know?
Yeah. I think that probably it's Microwave Massacre.
Okay.
Microwave Massacre from 1983. Stars Jackie Vernon, who is the voice of Frosty the Snowman.
Sweet.
Happy birthday.
You know, we just lost Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't hear about that.
Oh, and Rudolph himself. He hung himself. He was autoerotic.
Well, you know what they
actual
no.
puppet.
Well, no, you know what happened? They found out that nose was all generated from an inoperable brain tumor. That's why his nose glowed.
It's so weird because for years they're like, oh, that's an asset. And he's like, no, I'm really sick and dying.
No,
and
it's a tumor. No, he goes, no, it's magic pixie dust. They're like, no, dude, it's a tumor. It's a tumor.
Somebody help me.
Oh, God.
Take me to the doctor.
I got Kaiser permanente. You know, I got insurance through Santa. I wasn't sure if it was good.
The worst insurance.
But it's really hard to top Microwave Massacre for pretty bad movie.
Are there boobs in it?
Astonishing. Oh, yes. See, it starts with boobs.
See? Bare boobs, 80s. Yeah. Bad movies.
I think
movies.
I have it in my bag, actually. I bought it because your recommendation.
You bought it.
Where are you buying these things?
Amazon. I hear it. And I just,
yeah, you can get it. It's,
you can get it on Amazon.
It's way
you just got money to throw around like that, huh?
That's why I spend my money.
Oh, my God.
That's
bad movies.
That's what, you know, that. Thankfully, the movies that we show are so cheap on eBay. Or
they pay you to buy them.
Practically.
Please.
We've got this one.
We have to get off our shelf and make room for good stuff.
We got this one movie that we're going to show later in the year,
right,
or probably early next, for 1 cent on eBay. It costs more to ship it than the actual movie.
Wow.
What was the movie that?
Oh, it's a wonderful movie. It's a Thai movie called Catman.
Is it supposed to be like a Batman? Or
kind of, yes. It's
sweet.
About, oh, it's wonderful. It's about a couple of CIA agents who are in – it takes place in Thailand.
Okay.
With American actors.
Sweet.
Or, you know, English actors. And you see them, their mouths speaking English,
okay,
but it's dubbed in English. So everyone kind of sounds like this, even though
you can tell the words are going.
Actually, we're acting first. So it's about these two CIA agents. One of them is scratched by a radioactive cat. So we have two cat movies now.
Great.
And he gets superpowers, and he and the other CIA agent try to take down the leader of a satanic church in Thailand.
Worst Batman ever.
Oh, I'll tell you. Go. What do you think?
Mm. Worst Batman ever.
Worst Batman ever. I didn't see it, but I've heard that Batman and Robin was pretty bad.
And that was Val Kilmer, right?
That was the
George Clooney.
No, that was the Clooney one with Poison Ivy.
Okay, I agree.
Oh, I hated. You're going to kill me and throw me out of your house. I hated the first Batman.
So did I.
The Michael Keaton.
The Michael Keaton one.
The last two I liked the best.
I liked the one with Val Kilmer the best.
I liked Val Kilmer because he seemed like a little all over the place mentally.
Yeah.
But I like the last two, and everybody knows Mark Ruffalo's the new Hulk.
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that. I've been saying no to Ruffalo since I heard that.
Why? Well, how could it be any worse than the other two guys?
Well, no, I think Ed Norton really brought a lot to the Hulk role.
Uh-huh.
I think that he really, really wanted to keep going. I think he would have been good when they did the whole Avengers thing. They said he was too hard to work with, and they replaced him with Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, he was so hard to work with. Apparently, he wanted to redo the whole film, and
right,
he hated it, and it seemed like a real pain. Yeah, so Ruffalo will take the check and
yeah, and just run with the thing. But I think the Avengers is going to be a stinker.
Hmm.
It's so like Iron Man 2, such a setup. It's such a commercial for the Avengers.
It seems like, yeah, it's like a too many cooks thing.
You know what it is, too? And I worked with Mickey Rourke on The Wrestler. But you
know, it was the only like superhero film where a superhero goes to a diner more often than he fights a bad guy. Like, what, is he going to sit and talk about his problems?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't bother. I heard too many poor reviews for part two that I didn't bother.
Do you guys believe in the reboot? I personally don't. It's like even like it's a painting. I got a perfect example for you. Look at the paintings over there. Henry Hill painted those. Okay. I love Henry. Henry painted them, took his time, and painted them. Yeah. It's not the best artwork in the world.
How dare you?
But does he have to repaint those?
No, but if someone else repaints the Henry Hill photo, is that worth something? Is that worth more?
No, it's not. I think it's all a matter of impression. I think if they're going after the people just, you know, to get some more money, do you think they're purposely making these bad movies so they can reboot them?
Well, they're rebooting bad movies. They've run out of good movies to reboot, and they're.
Well, I thought the first Fantastic Four made no sense.
That was a piece of crap.
And like, when she took her clothes off, she took her clothes off to walk a foot, to like reemerge. I was like, what?
That was a terrible scene. No, the Roger Corman film was great. Did you see that?
I've seen.
Oh, the early one.
Yeah. So Roger Corman
stretching scenes.
Oh, that's a great one. Roger Corman owned the rights to Fantastic Four, and in order to keep the rights, he had to quickly make a movie of it.
Right.
Otherwise, he would have lost it. So they made a quickie movie, which was better and cheesier than the movie that actually wound up coming out.
It's hysterical.
That you were saying when Mr. Fantastic's arm, he stretches, right?
Right.
So he stretches the hand across the screen.
In one scene, he'll start to reach, and then they cut to like a close-up of his hand, and the background is panning. So it's like, like, oh no, look at his hand screen.
That's very funny.
Or the Human Torch, they couldn't afford the Human Torch. It's supposed to completely be fire.
Right.
The whole movie, like, his hand's on fire, his foot's on fire. Then he becomes a Human Torch, but they were like, bullshit. They just fully animated it. He just was a cartoon.
Are you serious?
He's like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he just became a cartoon and flew off. He's ruining your franchise. I think that's the problem with reboots. Like, you're ruining my childhood.
Right.
You know, the whole Star Wars thing. It's like, did you really have to ruin that?
It's like changing the smell of Lincoln Logs. You know?
Yeah, to a creosote kind of smell.
Right. I'm used to that huffing that really good stuff. Now they change it. They made it, you know.
As a parent, how do you, John, and now you have a second child. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
man.
You.
Nice.
2 weeks old tomorrow.
What'd you have?
It's a boy. Second boy.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Now they can pull all the pranks that me and my brother pulled on my dad.
Uh-oh.
Like, for example, hey, kids, and if you're listening, you can try this one on your dad. Like, get in the car before your dad gets in. Turn the volume of the radio all the way up so then when he turns on the car, you know, the radio is blasting at full blast.
So you're looking forward to this.
Sweet.
It's going to happen, yeah. It's going to happen to me. I just hope I won't do the whole, like, Dennis the Menace.
You know what? The first
thing. You're a little brat.
How do you explain the bad Star Wars to your kids?
Like, okay, whoa. You got to stop there. What do you consider bad Star Wars?
After
the last three?
Yeah.
Really?
The last three.
What made the last three bad? Tell me, please.
They were shitty films.
Is this a special three-hour episode?
No. Just in brief. I mean, I know the Jar Jar Binks thing was way out of control.
Yeah.
Well, I know Mannequin Skywalker can't act his way out of a bag.
Okay.
Okay? But I think Ian McGregor was awesome.
You know, he is awesome, but right. I think Lucas sat on him big time.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be doing this, you know, resolute Jedi, but
right.
he sat on everyone, and he... Oh, where do we begin? It was just they took the logic out of it. They took the fun out of it. They there was no Han Solo type character. It was just this staid political drama with some space battle.
I mean, I remember when New Hope wasn't four; it was one.
That's what I'm saying.
There was no New Hope. It was just Star Wars. Right.
There's Empire Strikes Back, and then there's the other one, and then there's three other ones.
Right. Do you think he was, like, after the first two movies, like, sitting behind his desk just counting money, just going, who knew?
Well, yeah, wasn't David Lynch was supposed to direct?
Well, Singleton, or what's his name, Singletary?
Because I'm actually reading The Making of Star Wars right now, that big, giant coffee table book. And
okay.
Honestly, I feel like it's revisionist history. The main thrust of that book is that George Lucas was never satisfied with anything that he shot. He came back from Tunisia and he never was satisfied. And then he saw the things that ILM was doing while they were soaking in their cold tub, and he didn't like anything.
Let's talk about your bad movie night. It's horrible movie night. It's at the Complex here in L.A. and on Santa Monica.
Yep.
Once a month. The next one is October 16th. We may or may not air before it. Can I talk about a celebrity sighting? I was at the Smod Castle, and I went to the Complex to use the restroom, and who was waiting in line? Judy Tenuta. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Did you like to know? Did she have an accordion?
She did.
Stud muffin.
That's how I knew it was her. Your website is horriblemovienight.com.
You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter, of course.
Yes, absolutely. What is your Twitter handle?
It's horrible at horrible movie.
Great.
Actually, our new Oh my god. Our new one. Yeah. Our new website is theretroradiolive.com. We moved.
Good. Check that out. Check out the show. It's live 6 p.m.
Monday through Thursday.
This is Proudly Resents. Go to ProudlyResents.com with actual content now, which is fantastic. And go to HorribleMovieNight.com to find out when and where and what's playing. All right. Thanks, guys.